were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I've baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." So as I say, we want to just explore why someone would get baptized, and what better example to look at than the baptism of Jesus. But if you take it just a bit further back, and I was exploring this actually with some of the young people when we looked at baptism a couple of weeks ago, so forgive me, I'm just going to repeat a lot of stuff of what I said. But you've got to ask yourself a question. Why did these people who were in the Judean countryside and in Jerusalem, why did they come out into the desert? Okay, and believe me, some of us have been to the desert, you know, south of Jerusalem. It's really hot. You know, the temperature can be 40 degrees plus. It's totally barren, and it's quite an inhospitable place. Okay, so they're coming, they're flocking, all of Jerusalem, they're flocking in their, you know, hundreds, thousands to come out into the desert. And they're coming to listen to this guy who was really a bit of an eccentric. He was dressed in funny clothes, you know, kind of camel's hair. He ate strange things, the locusts and wild honey. And actually, he was probably, by all accounts, quite an abrasive character, really. And yet they were flocking to him. There were crowds coming round. And not only were they listening to him, but then they were going into the Jordan River and they were being dunked, as Ethan's going to be later on, submerged into this river and coming back out again. And you've got to ask yourself, what made these people go and do that? You know, and so baptism's always been a strange thing. You know, it was then, and it is today. It's something different, something distinctive. And I think, so you notice, like, these are going to be points all beginning with D, so I'm going very Baptist, okay? I think the main thing was there was a dissatisfaction in the people in Jerusalem and Judea. They were dissatisfied. If you think about it, they were under Roman rule and occupation. Life must have been a struggle. It was hard. It wasn't the way it was supposed to be. And they must have been thinking, you know, this just isn't right. There's got to be more to life than this, than what we're going through. And they heard about this guy, John, and people were saying, you know, this guy has a message that we believe is from God. And these were people who hadn't heard from God for hundreds of years. So that was quite something. And they were like, we've just got to go out and hear him. So they were willing to trek into the desert, you know, in order to hear this guy speak. And when they went, here's the funny thing. You know, they were probably expecting a message about all of the stuff that they thought was wrong with the world and maybe how God was going to put that right. And what they got was a message about themselves. You know, John's message was he was preaching about repentance. And he was saying to them, actually, God wants to sort out the problems, the issues in your heart first and foremost. That's what God wants to do. And there are problems. You know, there are issues. Repentance, the word, means like this change of mind, this change, complete change of worldview. The whole way in which you think has got to change. And also you've got to turn from sin and you've got to turn to God. But the good news that he was saying is God will forgive your sins. You know, just as Ethan was talking earlier about forgiveness for sins. You know, basically it's like John is saying, forget about everyone else for a minute. Where do you stand with God? And I think tonight that would be what God would say to us. Forget about everything else in the world for a minute. All the things that you might think are wrong, all the things you might be worried and anxious about. And actually just think for a moment, where are you with God? Where do you stand with God? And I think, and here's the second D, I think actually John was saying the situation is pretty desperate. Okay, there's got to be a desperation, a realization of the desperate state that we are in. You know, with the Bible, we've been exploring Romans. We started exploring it on Thursday evenings as a church. And it's the, you know, the famous verse that preachers often quote, Romans 3:23, where it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This problem, you know, the things that we see in the world, the fact that things just aren't as they should be, actually, the problem starts with us, and it starts in our heart. And we see all around people do unthinkable things, and yet we know that we are capable of really unthinkable things as well. And so that is why John is saying, you know, this is a baptism of repentance. Your sins need to be forgiven. Something has to be done about sin. And we know sin brings death and destruction. This morning, Ed was talking about Noah and Noah's Ark. And that is a really kind of drastic picture of what it's all about, really. You know, the fact that, you know, God looks down and he sees that the inclinations of people are just on evil all the time. And so he deals very decisively with the sin that there is in the world. And there's this global flood, but there's an ark, you know, that Noah, that he instructs Noah to build, and he saves Noah and his family, and lots of animals as well that we learn about. And I think the ark is a great picture of Jesus and who Jesus is. You know, we had a preacher recently at a conference we went to who said, you know, actually, Jesus is the ark. You know, you've got to throw yourself on Jesus. Don't get swept away. You know, this is like what John's saying. Don't get swept away by the tide of sin. But actually, throw yourself on Jesus. Because he's the one who will save you. He's the one who will rescue you. In him, you will be safe. In him, you'll be carried through the storms. In him, the floodwaters, they won't overwhelm you. They won't overcome you. If you're in Jesus, you are safe. You are rescued. You are secure for all eternity. Jesus is the one who's been through death. And he's come out the other side. So trust in him. Put your life completely in him and in his hands. And actually, everything is not just going to be fine. It's going to be great in the end. And so John wants to lead people to a decision. Okay, that's our third D. So we've had, you know, people who are, they're dissatisfied. They've got to realize the desperate state. But then they've got to come to a decision. And as we said, that decision is to trust in Jesus, is to trust in the one who has taken all of our sin upon himself. I mean, it's glorious. You know, the fact that sin in the world, you know, sin is rife in our world, and yet Jesus, he didn't come to destroy the world. He didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't come to destroy us. He came to save us, and he came to take our sin upon himself so that people could choose to trust in him and have their sins totally forgiven, totally wiped clean. And so we come to Jesus' example for us, Jesus being baptized. You know, we've got to ask ourselves, why was Jesus baptized? He didn't need his sins forgiven. He hadn't sinned. And yet he was giving us an example. You know, like any good leader, he led by example. And he calls us to follow him. And so he's shown us the way. But I think there's more to it than that as well. I think Jesus' baptism is something quite prophetic as well. Because actually, Jesus is almost showing what he's going to do. Because Jesus is the one who's going to die, and he's going to come back to life. And so as Jesus is baptized, he's showing us, you know, what he's going to do ultimately. You know, that there is death and then there is life. And we're going to think about that as a picture of baptism in just a moment. Because baptism is a declaration. It's a declaration of what Jesus has done for us. And, you know, Paul writes, he says, you know, that we are united with Christ in his death. And that's what we're going to see in a minute. When Ethan goes under the water, he's saying, actually, I am now dead to sin. You know, actually, I don't want to have anything to do with evil. I don't want to have anything to do with sin. In fact, he's going to pray and say, I renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil. All the things in this world that are just not right and that are destructive and that cause hurt and pain and death and destruction, actually, I want no part with that. And so he goes down in the water and he's united with Christ in his death. He's saying the old life's gone. That's finished. That's done away with. And then he comes out of the water. And that's symbolic of the fact that he has new life in Christ. And, you know, as we heard from Ethan Sesame, he's already received that new life by trusting in Jesus, by putting his faith in him. But as he comes out of the water, it's like this public declaration that actually now My life is brand new. I'm a new creation in Christ. And the life I live now is in God's power. And we see in Jesus that as he comes out of the water, heaven's opened and the Holy Spirit descends upon him. And God actually gives each one of us, everyone who trusts in him, he gives the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit who Ethan's already encountered. You know, and I loved the fact that Ethan said he felt more alive, than you'd ever felt when the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It's the life of God in us, the presence of God in us. We come alive when we encounter God and we encounter the power of his Spirit. And there is nothing like it. And God gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can live this new life for him, because we can't do it in our own strength. If we want to follow God's ways, if we want to follow Jesus, boy, do we need the power of God, you know, the strength of God, the presence of God to lead and guide us in that. And God, so it's not just us who make a declaration. You notice that's another D, by the way, just in case. I want you to notice that. That God also makes a declaration. And this, I think, is wonderful. So God declares about Jesus, says, "You are my son, my beloved. In you I am well pleased." And God does the same for us. You know, when Ethan is baptized, you know, God is saying, "You're my son. You know, you're my son who I love. I love you, and I'm so pleased with you." You know, God just smiles upon us. When we are following Jesus, when we're being obedient to what he said, when we're living out the plan of God in our lives, that just blesses God's heart. And he just loves it so much. And any one of us who's put our faith in Jesus, we're a child of God. We've been singing about it. I love that phrase. You know, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. You know, there's some people, I don't know if there's someone here tonight who's worried and feels insecure in terms of what God thinks about them. You know, I just want to say, if you've trusted in Jesus and you've put your faith in him, then it's like, you know, in your house when you're younger and you have like you have one of those little nameplates on your door, which is like has a little train on it or something like that, or some little ABC bricks. And it's like, actually, in God's house there's a door with your name on it, you know, because you're his child. There's always a place for you in God's house. And you know, it's like your nameplate's on the door, and that's never going to change. It's never going to be taken down. You know, that's just God's promise to you. And yeah, God just declares that. He declares that over Ethan tonight. He declares that over each one of us who trusts in Jesus. You're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. I'm so pleased with you. I love you. And as we said, the final D is we've got a new destination. You know, that's the end of it. So your dissatisfaction, desperation, leading to a decision and a declaration. And then there's this new destiny that we have in God. And that destiny is more glorious than we could ever think. And we get to share in Christ's life now. And we get to share in his inheritance and the blessing of God's kingdom in all of its fullness and everlasting life. And as I say, whatever others say, you know, Jesus had this declaration of the Father over him. There were loads of other things that people said about Jesus in his life. You know, people said all kinds of things about Jesus. But the one thing that mattered more than anything was what his Father said about him. And it doesn't matter, you know, for you, Ethan, whatever other people say, you know, whatever other people try and say, if they try and put you down, if they try and put down your faith, it doesn't matter, because your Father speaks life over you. He speaks his blessing on, you've got his blessing. You're favored, and he loves you. And you're his son. And that's all that matters. And Jesus, the only thing that mattered to Jesus is what his Father said. And all those other voices, they were drowned out, because his Father just speaks glorious things over him. And he does the same over each one of us. So I just want to invite you just to, maybe let's just pause a moment and just think for a moment. Where are we before God tonight? And just think about where do we stand before God? And know that tonight we can ask for his forgiveness. and he's just waiting to just pour it out upon us and to embrace us. And tonight, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, or maybe you've drifted away from him and you want to put your faith in him again, and you want to live this glorious new life that he's just got waiting for you, and I just want to invite you just to say a prayer, just call out to him. Hey, Jesus, I just I pray. Lord, we're sorry where we've fallen short, where we need your forgiveness. Lord, tonight we thank you that you died on the cross. Thank you died on the cross for my sin, Jesus. Thank you you took that upon yourself. Thank you you did that to set me free. And tonight, Lord Jesus, I want to declare I trust in you. I trust in you alone to save me. Father, I ask your forgiveness. And I ask you to give your Holy Spirit to me and to all who ask for it. Holy Spirit, just come into our lives. Give us the power and the strength to follow Jesus, to glorify you. Thank you, Lord, that what you say about us is the only thing that matters. What you declare over us, and you want to just declare good things over us. You want to speak blessing over our lives. You don't curse, you bless. And so we come to you as your children tonight, and we thank you for your grace, and thank you for Ethan and for this wonderful celebration. Amen.